out of the nexus of scribbling Vesemnudes and whirling through the great cloud of Rinso Flakes comes another revolting chapter in Horrors of the 20th Century. The ancient outback of the great southland of Australia is aptly named the Outback, as it is so far outback that many innocent American tourists become hopelessly disoriented and unable to tell a donut from a crabapple.
My God, there's no hole in this crabapple!
Such was the fortune and ultimate horror of Spider McGee, a Bulgarian loft cleaner from Cranbury-on-Sea, an unusually quiet part of the Tibetan steppes, so named because the lift had failed. This was September the 12th, 1939, and the dust from his yet-to-be-invented Volkswagen billowed behind him as he crossed the grassy plains of Yakanduda, en route to his destined holiday camp, Mount Gloom.
My room at Gloom, clean mainly with the broom.
Obsessed with cleaning materials, McGee was alarmingly short of grey matter and never shook his head for fear of the rattle.
Oh, I don't know, that hurts!
Little did this Bulgarian nitwit know what lay in store for him as he pulled up at the entrance of this very unusual holiday camp.
Crikey, g'day. Welcome to Camp Gloom, sweetie. My name's Cedric. May I take your things?
Reaching through the car window, Cedric took hold of McGee's things.
Why, get off my thing, you bar, what are you doing? Get your hands off my things.
My, what a cluster.
Little did McGee know what further horrors were in store for him. Having registered at the front desk and avoided further contact with Cedric, McGee settled into his pre-booked accommodation, the Ocker Suite. He was immediately struck by the decor.
Oh, that hurts!
Protruding from the Besser block walls and dangling from the low foam ceiling, McGee was amazed to see dozens of highly coloured didgeridoos set in patterns representing the Southern Cross star formation. As the desert wind blew through the gaping hole, which he presumed was a window, the room filled with an eerie moaning.
My goodness, that seems like my first wife.
Later that night, having partaken of the renowned Camp Gloom menu of broiled socket of raw Guyana, brulee of codswallop and roux parfait, followed by his favourite evening tipple, Drano and soda, McGee retired to his camp stretcher for a good night's rest.
Oh, and now for a good night's rest.
Little did McGee realize that the horrors ahead would drive him insane, if only he had a brain. McGee was deep in dreaming when he awoke suddenly to a strange feeling.
Oh, what's that? What's that strange feeling?
Don't mind me, sweetie.
Oh, God, get away, you dreadful, terrible gay person.
McGee leapt to his feet and, seizing the attack hand broom he always kept handy for just such emergencies, chased the saucy servant out the crack in the wall and into the gloomy night.
Get out of here!
When the dusty darkness settled, McGee turned to return to his luxury Ocker suite. But, to his amazement and horror, the entire complex of Camp Gloom had disappeared. McGee found himself alone in the desert.
Ah, what's this? Where's me holiday camp gone?
Suddenly, a horrible vision appeared before him. Floating above the sandy wastes, lit by ethereal fire, floated the specter of the nearly deceased American singer, Gerald Lee Lewis. McGee's empty noggin began to rattle and roll. Stars appeared before his eyes. The blood ran in rivulets from his cauliflower ears as his tiny brain smashed from side to side inside his Bulgarian head.
Oh, no! Help, help! My legs flashing through the eddies!
With an enormous explosion, McGee's head blew into smithereens, scattering grey matter across the parched plain. With an horrific laugh, the Lewis spectre sped away into the starry Australian night. Over the decades, occasional reports by Aboriginal walkabouters have filtered in of a strange, headless figure sprinting through the lonely wastes of the Yakandudah Plains, wielding a hand broom and shrieking demands for a return of his room tariff. Needless to say, no suburban settlements have ever been established in this frightening corner of the Great Southland. The moral of the story: chickens taste better without their feathers. This is Lamington Plate, inviting you to join me next week when we ask why body fat worked better than wax in the case of the Liberal Party soap opera. See you in their nightmares.